We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. Our beautiful sister in Christ, Tina Dobbs, is over there running the iPad for us. And our guest this morning is our awesome brother in Christ, Pastor Travis Imboden. How are you doing this morning?
I'm good.
Did I say it right?
Well, yeah. I've been through all the credentialing testing. And I'm going through the ceremony in February to get my actual license. I've already passed the license,
okay,
the certification license, and the ordainment test. But through the Assemblies of God, there's a waiting process. So I guess you would say I'm a licensed minister. I performed a wedding already. I've got two more that are coming up. So that's exciting. But as far as actually having the official piece of paper, not yet.
Okay. Well, we're speaking it anyway.
Yeah, I'm a minister, I guess, for all intents and purposes. I know I'm a disciple that'll share the word anywhere I'm at.
Amen. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll do our best to get that posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Baines Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company with Christian values. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
Yeah, sure. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to get into your word and to share the message that the Holy Spirit wants to impart on us, on our hearts, and on anybody that's listening, Lord. We ask that you open our hearts and our minds. Let our hearts be fertile soil that takes your word, and that seed that's planted, Lord, that it grows and that we can exhibit the fruits of the Spirit in the way we act. Lord, help me to decrease, Lord, today so that you can increase. And help me to convey the message that you want, that you've laid on my heart. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Is this one better?
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
That's better. That's gooder, as Pastor Dwight would say. It's gooder.
It's gooder. How is Pastor Dwight?
Oh, they're great.
He's fantastic. I love that guy.
Yeah, him and Pastor Sharon are awesome.
Yeah.
Sauce.
Yep, very.
I like your title this morning. There's no honor without respect.
Very true. And so, you know, good morning to everyone that's out there that's watching on Facebook or listening. You know, we're going to be discussing the character quality respect today, and what the Bible says about respect, what it is, how do we show respect? Going up the chain of command. To reference my military background, and also going down the chain of command, and according to God's word. Because for those of you that are just tuning in, I've been doing a sermon series. It's a 7-part series. Actually, I made it 6 now because we're combining honor and respect. But it's based off of the 7 army values, and loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. And if anyone has ever served in the U.S. Army, you'll quickly recall the acronym LEADership, or LDRSHIP, and that stands for loyalty, duty, respect, selfless service, honor, integrity, and personal courage. But these sermons are based on the word. It starts with Jesus. It's about Jesus. It ends with Jesus and his word. I'm just using my personal background and experience from the U.S. Army and the character qualities that the U.S. Army put as things that they considered honorable, what a good soldier is. And at the end of the day, we're all called to be soldiers for the kingdom of heaven. We're all called to be disciples. And so I thought it was a very neat way to kind of map out a 7-week series, now a 6-week series. But so anyway, the first week we covered L, which was loyalty. And then the second time I came in, we talked about duty and how do we fulfill our Christian duty in our day-to-day lives. And then, so today we're going to be talking about respect and honor, since I added the honor into respect because you can't really have one without the other. And their definitions, the way the Army lays out their definitions, they're practically the same thing. You know, it's like, you know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, kind of like the golden rule. And then honor is like to follow all the 7 Army values. And so I was like, it's all one and the same. So anyway, we're going to cover the definitions. The way I outline my sermons is that we cover the definition of what I'm talking about. And then we go with what the Army's definition is. And then most importantly, we follow it up with what does the Bible say? And then it comes with a call to action, if you will. How do we unroll this as far as step by step in our lives? Because as we all know, if you just have book knowledge but you're not applying it to your life, then what good is it? You know, even the demons know scripture. Yep. Satan knows scripture, but if we are applying it to our lives, that's important. So this will come with a call to action.
Even the devil and the demons believe in Jesus,
and they fear and they shudder. Yep. So, step one. Webster's definition of respect. It is a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something based on their abilities, their qualities, or achievements. And then having due regard for the feelings, wishes, rights, or traditions of others. And so that's Webster's definition of respect. And then the definition of honor is showing high respect or great esteem, adhering to what is right, and a code of conduct. So the Army's definition is respect is to treat people as they should be treated. In the Soldier's Code, we pledge to treat others with dignity and respect while we're expecting others to do the same. Respect is what allows us to appreciate the best in other people. And so treating people as they should be treated, everybody knows the golden rule. And so when I got to this definition in this sermon for this character quality of respect, I was thinking, I felt like I was almost, I don't know, lost. I thought, you know, Lord, what am I supposed to talk about? Respect. And it's just like it's everywhere. There is such a lack of respect in this nation. And it starts from Satan. He's the father of lies, and he tries to pervert everything. And as a society, it seems like as we've grown, every step that we take down the path of separation of church and state, and we've pulled God out of every single thing that we're doing, you know, you've got kids that are growing up now with a lack of respect, a sense of entitlement, there's no work ethic. I see it all the time in the oil field. People are wanting to have 6-figure income with a $10 an hour work ethic, and then they're wondering why everybody else is, you know, doing well and they're not, and they're just, it blows my mind. And so we have to start learning to respect, and typically, all we can control is ourselves, but I'm going to get into that, of how we turn the ship on honor and respect. And as far as biblical examples of respect, I'm going to read some scripture to you, and this will cover all of the points of my call to action. First is 1 Peter 2:17. And it says, respect all people, love the brotherhood, fear, and honor God. One translation says, fear God and honor the king. And that goes along with God's, in my opinion, God's greatest commandment. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. As Christians, we need to get that part right. Everything else, like God said, like Jesus was telling the disciples, you know, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and then love others as yourself. All of the law and the prophets hinge off of these two. That starts with it. If we're going to have respect for anything else in our lives, we have got to learn to respect our Creator. And that is in everything. Do I respect God when it's convenient? Do I only respect God when it's comfortable? Am I respecting God in all aspects of my life? Am I respecting Him in my actions? And am I only respecting God in my actions in public? Am I respecting God in the way I talk to people? If I'm walking down the street and I'm talking to someone, would a bystander know that I'm a Christian based on the words that I use and how I talk and convey the message to someone when I communicate with others? And then one of the hardest things is, do I respect God in my thoughts? We can go to church on Sundays and we can be an upstanding member of society and the community, and we can even be, a good husband or wife, good mother, good parent, but are our thoughts honoring God? That's something that, you know, now that I'm not lost in a bottle, yeah, okay, you know, God has helped me and delivered me from the chain of addiction, and I no longer drink myself to sleep every day or every night. But now there's a hole that's like that onion analogy that I use, that peeling those layers back. Are my thoughts pure? You know, I plan on getting married someday. Are my thoughts about the woman I want to marry, are they pure? She's a child of God. Am my thoughts pure? Or am I looking at her in lust? Am I going to work with the idea of how much money can I get? How many status symbols can I buy with this money? Is there a root of greed in my heart when I go out to make money? Do I have road rage? Do I think evil thoughts about people that rub me the wrong way at work? One of the biggest things that I face now is my words and my actions in terms of political debates and this LGBTQXYZ, however many letters there are now. That's being forced down our throat everywhere you turn. And I sometimes, rather than show taking a stance or a position of humility and love, sometimes I get real, I guess, righteous, self-righteous. Like, I want to shove the Bible down their throats as much as they're shoving that nonsense down my throat. And it doesn't come from a heart of love or empathy. I need to realize that that person is lost and they need Jesus just as much as I did when I was a full-on drunk. And people that are atheists and that post left-wing ideology just because it's opposite of what I believe, am I looking at that person as they need Jesus, not they need to see my point of view politically, or they need to stop living this lifestyle because it's a sin, or because it disgusts me, or because we have to take a stand for Christ, and there cannot be any wavering on this. But how we deliver that message is why I'm getting at. Like, I can get real self-righteous and try to carry up a big hammer and slam the Bible on someone's head and say, you're going to hell if you don't change your ways. And you got, as true as that statement might be, how we're delivering that message could go a long way in whether the Holy Spirit is going to use that in interaction to draw them closer to Him. And so anyway, I'm starting to digress and go down that rabbit trail, but that has a lot to do with respect. If we respect our Creator in all aspects of our lives, and our actions, and our words, and our thought process, that's going to in turn start to, if we internalize that thought or that stance and say, all right, God, I want to not only honor you and respect you in the fact that you created me and in my actions at work, but I want to do that in my thought process and in my words to my family within my sphere of influence. That's how the Holy Spirit can start to show those fruits of the Spirit that are working in you. And so, to me, that's huge. And it all starts with that. And Romans 12:10 says, be devoted to one another in love. honor one another above yourselves. Sometimes that is something I struggle with. I had an opportunity this last week to take a brother in Christ who was really struggling with alcohol. I got a chance to take him to Teen Challenge. And he had spent the last several months, couple years, I guess, fighting this addiction. Same alcohol demon that I fought. And, I sometimes came across as I thinking, well, he's prior service, so I'm just going to show him tough love. And suck it up. You need to go to rehab. You need to go to, Teen Challenge. And I realized that he's bullheaded just like I was. Sometimes that isn't the right answer. You know what I mean? Yeah. And so I had to kind of take a step back. I was like, all right, God, let me pull in my bravado here a little bit and realize that I need to honor him as a person. I need to see with an empathetic eye where he's at in his life, because I was there not too long ago. And so I need to delicately do this. Holy Spirit, how do I handle this situation? How can I be a vessel and a conduit to get him wherever it is that you want him to go? And God handled that whole situation, because my friend finally relented and said, all right, I'm drinking myself to death and I need help. And I was like, Roger that, I'm here. And so we got him to where he needed to go. But it goes back to that Romans 12, be devoted to one another in love. I love that guy. I have such a love in my heart now for other people that are facing addiction, that are fighting drugs and alcohol, because I've lived through that. I was smoldering from the heat that was on me, and I was still trying to kick in the door to hell and trying to get into the flames. Like, that's how lost I was. I didn't realize that I was drinking myself to death when you're in that situation. And it's like everybody around you sees it, and they're trying to tell you, but you just don't want to listen, or your heart's so blinded and so cold and your walls are up and you're thinking, well, if I just had one more drink, I'll figure this out tomorrow. And tomorrow never gets here. And the only thing that's waiting on that side is a grave. And so, God really worked in that situation, and that's a praise report. I was just telling you a little bit ago about another friend of mine that's struggling right now. And that phone call that I got right as we started this program, was a phone call to let me know that they've got a bed available for her if she wants to go. And so I've realized this is my ministry. I've got that ceremony coming up in the spring where I can get my license through the Assemblies of God, but I don't know if God's going to put me behind a pulpit every Sunday. It might be this radio show every month, and it might be me running people to rehab and going to the, in the military, the background that I have, getting in the trenches, there's so many people that were like me and that my friend that I took this last week, that they're not the ones that are going to be kicking down the door of the church looking for help, because they're under so much condemnation from Satan already that they're like, I'm not clean enough. I don't deserve to go into church. I'm too far gone. I'm too far lost, or I'm hungover and I don't want to go in because it's embarrassing, because I know I should be in better shape than I am, but I smell like an alcohol bottle, so I don't really want to go. Should I go? Will they judge me? And none of that matters, but it does to them. And that might prevent them from going through that church and getting the help that they need. So if I can be the guy that goes and meets them where they're at, I can't think of a higher calling. And so honoring one another above yourselves. God's blessed me beyond belief and has restored so much in my life after I finally surrendered. And I'm glad I get to be a blessing to others. And I have to get out of my own way sometimes. I'm like, you know what? You need to humble yourself. God's put you in this position. Now you need to use this blessing to go and get these people. And it's not about me. Please understand, if anybody's listening to this, it is not about me. It doesn't matter how eloquent of a speaker I am. Any gift that I've ever had to talk, or any brain matter I got, is because of Jesus. And I was a wreck. I had to be carried in through the doors of Teen Challenge that last time because I couldn't physically walk. I mean, I'm 6'3", 275 pounds on a skinny day. And I had to be carried by a bunch of men in there because I was such a mess. And so anything that I've got now, it's because God has restored this. And he can answer, he can fix anything. So sometimes it's good for me to vocalize that again and let it out, because I need to hear that. And I need to realize that I was so broken before. And it was because there was a foundation that was laid even before I was fully following God and the honor and the integrity and the respect, the Army values that were instilled in me when I was living for the world, God's using that now for His glory, which is fantastic in itself. It's funny how God will take some of the biggest messes we find ourselves in, you know, mm-hmm. and turn them around for His glory. So, okay, I'm going to move on. I don't want to get too far down that trail. But another one is, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. That's in Exodus. It's the fifth commandment. It starts when we're kids. And we emulate our parents. And so sometimes it can be a double-edged sword, because I want to circle around back to this, because when I go to the call of action for all the men and women out there, whether you're a single mother, whether you're a happily married family and there's never been any kind of breakup, or you're a single dad, or you're facing, you're in addiction with kids, whatever the situation is, this call to action is going to be powerful. But honor your father and mother as a kid. Kids emulate their parents, and so sometimes they have a very poor example to follow, and it's being set by the parents. And that's unfortunate. And I pray that if there's kids out there, that there is a positive role model in their life somewhere that they can follow. But parents, and I'll get to that. I think I've got it out of order. But, oh, no, it's the next one. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that's Proverbs 22:6. Parents, men, women that have kids, step one, respect and honor your Creator. Get that right. And then step two would be to honor your spouse if you still have one. Honor your spouse. Mixed families, as soon as you get married, that new wife takes precedence over your kids. That's the biblical. That is 100% truth. Mm-hmm. Keep your in-laws out of it, your mother-in-law. When you make that agreement with that woman, and that is your new equal in that relationship, and it's God first, your spouse second, and then your kids, even if they're from different mothers or fathers, and then you two come together in Christ, and then parent those children and train those kids. Be the parent that prays with your child. I pray with my daughter. Gosh, I was such a mess, and I used to hold such resentment towards my ex for keeping my daughter away from me during the time that I was going through rehab. But she did me a service, and our daughter a service, because I was a salesman, still am, but I try to sell with integrity. Well, I always have sold with integrity, but I'm saying I used my sales and my charisma, my ability to feed people a line of nonsense for a long time too, whenever it was me that was having to answer for my actions. And so I would put on a good front and be the sober guy for a little while. And it wasn't till that last trip through Teen Challenge that I finally was broken enough that God could rebuild me. But she was holding my daughter away from me, and it wasn't to be vindictive towards me. It wasn't. It was to protect my daughter. And now she sees that, all right, you're not the same person. The judge saw that whenever and she was still skeptical, but the judge saw, like, all right, you're not the same guy you were a year ago. Whatever just happened to you, you're not that guy anymore. And so my ex-wife saw that now. And so we are able to peacefully co-parent. But it is so important that after you've got your relationship right with Jesus, that your relationship to your spouse is like the second highest priority, and you get your nuclear family in order, even if you've got kids from different, and then you two as in Christ together parent your children, pray with them, be involved, be present, hold them accountable for their actions. Don't spoil your child to the point where they become ungrateful and entitled. Teach them respect and be the example, because when I told you that kids emulate their parents, they do. And so I'm trying to be a fatherly influence to my daughter. She sees me pray over our meals. She sees me read my Bible when she wakes up in the morning. We pray over things, and we go to church, and I don't take that responsibility lightly, because when I'd lost everything and I was in Teen Challenge, and I remember praying to God after that rock hit me in the mouth when I was on Long Career and I was weed eating, and I was about to throw that weed eater across the highway, and I saw my truck that was getting repoed going down the road, and that's what broke me, and that's when I finally realized it's not about stuff. And when I crawled to the altar that next morning and I finally just laid it all down, I said, God, whatever this looks like, whether I'm sacking groceries or building fence for $5 an hour, I'm yours. And that's when he started to rebuild my life. But I remember thinking that when God asked me, you know, when I was talking to God, I felt like God asked me, you know, what is it you want, son? What do you want? Mm-hmm. I wanted to be a dad. My daughter deserves a dad in her life. And so I thought, you know, that is something that I'm going to instill. And so I'm taking that and I'm trying to be a good steward of that blessing that God has given me. And so that's pretty much the scripture that I wanted to go over. I'm going to give a quick example of honor and respect in the Old Testament. And I'm touching on 1 Samuel and that whole where the people are unhappy and they want a king. Samuel's like, you have a king. God, your creator. No, we need a king so we can be like every other nation. And so he goes and he, God appoints Saul. Tells Samuel, go appoint Saul. He's going to be the king of our people. And so he appoints Saul. Saul ends up falling out of favor because he doesn't wipe out the Amalekites and kill all the animals and the women and the children like God ordered him to. And so he falls out of favor, and Samuel gets the word from the Lord, and he goes and anoints one of Jesse's sons, and it's David. And David finds out he's going to be king, and then he has to wait another 20 years. And the whole as 1 Samuel unfolds, Saul, you know, David kills the giant, and then everybody's chanting, here comes Saul the king, he's killed his thousands, and David is tens of thousands, and now all of a sudden Saul's insecure, and he thinks that David's crazy or coming after his crown, so he's always trying to spear him and run him through. And this whole time, you know, David's found favor not only with Saul's daughter, because he's married to her, and Jonathan, his son, and him are best friends, so Jonathan's always giving him the heads up, hey, my dad's nuts, he's about to kill you, you better hightail it out of here. And the whole time, David never takes a chance to retaliate. David shows honor and respect for the position that Saul is in as God's anointed king until David's due time. And there's an even a situation where he's in the cave and he's using the restroom, and David comes in and could just end his. He doesn't have to look over his shoulder anymore. It's a fast track to the kingdom. And all of a sudden, he can rest easy, and he doesn't. He cuts off the corner of his robe and leaves him alone because he has respect for him. And then later on, I'm pretty sure that Saul runs on his own sword along with his armor bearer, and the messenger that David sends, if I'm not mistaken, tells him that he killed him to do David a favor, and David has the messenger ran through because he said, how do you lay a hand on God's anointed? You know, one of those kind of situations. And so... Mm-hmm. When I was reading that, I thought, man, you know, David messes up. David is one that's after God's own heart, and he slays a giant, but he falls to Bathsheba. That's a story. That's a sermon on lust we'll get to down the road. But the honor and the respect that David had for the position of the kingdom, I thought that was phenomenal. That's a good example for us. Even though we might fall, I have issues with anger and lust and greed and pride. Just because I'm not a drunk anymore, there's issues that God works out of me every day. Every time I get out of bed, I have to ask for forgiveness for something that I'm going to end up messing up or falling short. But are we on time?
Yes.
We're doing all right?
Yeah. Would now be a good time to take a break?
Yeah, and then we'll finish up with my call to action.
Okay.